Good morning, church. How's everybody? I'm glad we, you know, you came. It's a Sunday after Easter and you still came, huh? Did you know Jesus is still alive? He's alive today, be alive tomorrow. Last week I preached out of John. I'm going to preach again out of John, but I want to just read a couple of passages to set the stage here. As I mentioned last week, that John, I love this, John was an eyewitness of these things that are in the gospel. Listen to these two passages. John 19:35. The man, he's speaking of himself, the man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. And then he goes on, John 20:31, these are written, he's talking about what he's written, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Man, I don't know, that's cool stuff right there. John saw these things, he saw Jesus taken down off the cross, and then 3 days later, he's fixing them breakfast. Isn't that awesome? I love it. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this place. Do we have permission to worship today? I mean, like, worship. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you went to the cross because you love us. Paid the debt that we owe, but death couldn't hold you. You're alive, you love us, you're here with us this morning. We lift high your name, the name Jesus. It's above every name. There's no name under heaven or earth by which we must be saved except you, Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit in this place. May you be exalted. May our lives be impacted today. In Jesus' name, amen. Rise if you're able. Let's worship.
As Jeff said, it's a good day to worship, but we're going to start with an upbeat one, if that's all right with y'all. So y'all sing with us.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar when the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ the saving one? And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations. Young and old will turn to Jesus. Away our broken nails. and we can see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming. Young and old return to Jesus.
So as we sing, let's keep that mindset going. If we serve a God that is worthy of worship in every season, even when it looks beautiful outside, and it is a beautiful day. I don't know if you've looked back there, but like that's one of the biggest distractions and one of the biggest wows ever. I don't know if like I get caught occasionally. I'm just looking outside and I'm like, oh yeah, hey, like it's beautiful. And we get to look at that every single Sunday and just marvel at the beauty that God has around us. So let's continue to praise Him for that beauty.
This morning. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Are you excited to be here?
No?
Just kidding. I hope you're excited to be here. I'm excited that you're here. I hope you're excited. Yes, maybe? All right. Well, good. Well, so I have my bag with me this morning. And I know, y'all are going to be so excited with what I have in my bag. I know, you will be. So I thought I brought some snacks, so I kind of went through my cabinet, brought some snacks, see if you might want something to eat. Huh? You think you want some? Okay, so I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to see if you want to have some of my snacks, okay? All right. Let me get... Oh, it doesn't have any peanut butter in it. No, I have some flour. Does anybody like some flour? How about some baking soda? No? Oh.
If you have blocks of sugar, I would take it.
How about some baking? This is baking soda. This is baking powder. And then, how about some salt? And then there's a little sugar in there. Yeah? And then I have some cooking oil. And then I have an egg, and I didn't want to break the egg, so I made sure I wrapped it up pretty good. Because the egg is raw. No, it's just a raw egg.
If you don't want the raw egg, I could just, you could give it to me, and then whenever we leave,
uh-huh.
I could just go to my farm and just crack it.
And you would just crack it? Okay. So does anybody want any of my snacks? Okay. Only the sugar? Okay. So I know these are great. These are good things, right? Okay. What? What do you do with these things? Cake. You can make cake. Can you make cookies?
Yes.
Yes. So do y'all like cake and cookies?
Yes.
Yes. So you could use all these ingredients. You could use all these ingredients and make something delicious, right? But these ingredients by themselves, they're not very good. They need each other to come together to make something delicious, right? Yeah. Because if you had a cake and you didn't put any flour in it, you know what would happen? It would turn into mush. It would not be very good, would it? So you need all of these ingredients to make something good. Okay? And you need instructions. You are absolutely right. We need instructions. So I got to thinking, we're kind of like a cake, man. We're kind of like all these ingredients. Are we all different?
Yes,
we are all different. And then there are many of us, and God made each one of us, didn't he? And we are all uniquely made by God. But we don't all have the same name. Yeah, but, huh? Oh, y'all do? Y'all have the same last name. Yes. But when all of us work together, we can make something really good for God. Did you know that? Yes. Do you know God wants us to work together? Does he want us to all do things by ourselves?
No.
No?
It's really tricky to work together sometimes.
Oh, it is tricky to work together. So you need some. So do you need instructions to work together? So where do we get our instructions on how to work together?
The Bible.
The Bible, that's right. So we have instructions, right? But when we all come together and we work and learn and know about God, can we go out and tell the world about God?
So the Bible tells you how to be kind to people?
Yes, the Bible tells you how to be kind to people, for sure. Yes. It tells you to love one another. It tells you to be kind. It tells you how to help others. But you get it from the instructions right here. So those are important to have the instructions, right? So God wants us to work together for his glory so that we can share God's love with those around us. And one person can do it, but when we've got all of us doing it, guess what? How many more people will know about God? A lot more. That's right. And it says in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that God works everything together for the good of those who love him and are called to his purpose. Do you know you are called by God? He has a plan and a purpose for each one of you. And I want y'all to know that. Even at the age that you are, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Isn't that amazing that God already has a plan for you? So do we need to know his instructions? And so do we need to work together to learn and grow and know him so that we can share God's love with others and be open to what God has a plan and a purpose for us, right? That's right. All right. Well, let's say a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us, Lord. Just be with us and lead and guide us as we live each day, Lord. Let us work together to share your great love with those around us, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go. All right. Hey, Mr. Logan. Let's go.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into the service through the app if you have the app on your smartphone. We have a new ministry. It's called Threads of the Heart, and it's a ministry that Becky Kelly is very passionate about. And Mark and Becky have been with us for, we're not sure, 6-8 months, something like that. And Mark shaking his head yes, and Becky's doing this. So somewhere in that time frame, precious couple, and she has some thoughts she would love to share about this ministry. So Becky, come and share your heart, please.
I'm looking for Arliss. We're doing a sound check. Okay, I'm good? Good. I didn't talk loud enough for him first session. First of all, I want to say good morning. And I can't quit smiling because I had the great opportunity to experience that children's sermon twice today. And you really ought to do it. It'll make your happy heart when you get finished listening to it because of the way the kids responded. But I want to thank y'all for, one, being here. You're a great-looking group. We are a group of women, both from our blessed older ages all the way down to, we even have some high school girls and maybe a few younger that are interested in doing this. If you have an interest that utilizes a needle, whether it is embroidery, crewel, knitting, crocheting, sewing, or quilting, or if you're interested in learning any of this, we have a group of women with very much a Samaritan heart that are getting together and serving both the church as well as reaching out to the community. This afternoon at 1:30, we are meeting to finalize all our group meeting times, all our activities. We have about 10 projects that are pertinent for now, both within the church and outside the church. And we have another 30 that have been identified plus of needs that are within the church and outside the church. We will be utilizing our skills to meet those needs and by grouping together as a large group as well as breaking off in smaller groups in the different specialties to reach out and hopefully bless the community and the church as well as we also receiving blessings of just being able to share what we do. This group, when we started, I was not expecting a huge response because I had one of these groups in Houston at the church we were in there. It started at about 5, and after a couple of years, we worked up to about 20. The initial information meeting, 15 women showed up. We had another 6 who contacted Billy and me saying they were interested, they just couldn't come. Since then, we have even grown more. We're almost up to about 30. We are including not only women, but women who feel, or individuals who feel like they can't come to the meetings because either of health reasons, mobility reasons, family commitments, or other commitments. Reach out to us. We will figure out a way to get you involved. Also, what I want to encourage you is if you have an interest, but you're not sure, come today and check us out. This has been, swore I wasn't going to get teary-eyed. This has been the biggest blessing I could have ever asked for. God has his hand in this. There are so many people here wanting to give and to reach out. We are mentoring each other. We are able to mentor outside, and we are able to offer so much without us even realizing what impact and effect is going to have on others. That's not our job. Our job is to do the will of God and let him take it forward. So I would encourage you, today at 1:30, if you want to check us out, up in room 210. For the folks that have real diverse schedules, we are meeting Wednesdays during the day up till the dinner hour, and for those who work, because we have just as many working women and ladies as we do as non-working, we're meeting the fourth Sunday from 1:30 to 5. Thank you for allowing us to do this, and I hope that if any of you out there are interested, please come. Second thing, because we are finding such a large opportunity to serve, we are asking for any donations. If you know of someone who has fabric, yarn, tools for the trade that have been sitting in the back of a closet, or as being a quilter, you have a tub of it sitting somewhere hidden out because you don't want to use it, we will happily take it as a donation and make sure it gets out and serves somewhere that there is a need. Thank you very much, and I wish you a very blessed day.
Thank you, Becky. We're really excited about what God is going to do, how he's going to use this ministry to share the love of Christ in an incredibly unique way. If you're not familiar with our campus, room 210, you will go up the elevator, make a left. It's the first set of double doors, glass doors that you come to. That's 1:30 this afternoon. Our cake and pie auction is this coming Wednesday night. A meal will be served from 5:30 to 6:30, and the auction starts at 6:30 and will run until about 7:30. And Brent shared with me that he needs about 10 or 11 more cakes or pies. You can contact him or contact the church office. Also, childcare will be available during the auction time only. We want families to eat, share the meal together. Senior Sunday is next Sunday, and there's a list of graduating high school seniors in the bulletin. If you know of anybody else, please let us know that. And for those of you who may be newer to our church, our pastor is hosting a discovery class on the 18th where you can learn more about Wiley Methodist and its ministries. If you're able, let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, and the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I would like to give people an opportunity to be prayed over. If you've got something going on in your life, in your circle, and you would like to receive prayer, we would love to surround you, lay hands on you, if that's okay with you, and pray for you. So I'm just going to give you an opportunity. If you need prayer this morning, you can go ahead and stand. You don't have to share anything, or you could share what's going on with you or in your life. So anybody need prayer this morning? Okay. Anybody else? So I take that and everybody is doing good. Church, this is a safe place. This may have been why the Lord brought you here this morning. Thank you. Anybody else? let's gather around these that are standing. Just go ahead and begin to intercede for them. And I'll close when we've had a minute to do that. Anybody else? If you're seated, I encourage you just to connect with the Lord during this time and reach out to Him. I'm certain all of us have some needs that we're aware of that could use prayer. So I encourage you not to be idle during this time. Seek the Lord. Y'all go ahead and pray. Father, we ask that you graciously receive the prayers of your people. And Father, I praise you for being a God who's absolutely involved, absolutely concerned. And Father, you have outcomes already designated for the needs that we're praying for this morning. And it always seems to work out, God, that it brings honor and glory to you, and we praise you for that. Lord, I lift up those who have stood and maybe others that chose not to. God, I just pray for just a move of the Holy Spirit that brings about peace and comfort and healing. Father, nothing is too difficult for you. Jesus, nothing is too difficult for you. My goodness, if you could speak the stars into existence, you can intervene in such a way that you're honored and you're glorified and that people's lives are radically changed. God, we ask for that kind of movement this morning. God, I just thank you that your hand is on this fellowship, on this church. Father, we just want to be good stewards of the resources that you've given us, the giftings that you've given us. And Father, I just thank you for ways that we can reach out and love people on behalf of Christ. Thank you for Threads of the Heart ministry, God, and just the way you're stirring there, Lord. I just pray for just profound relationships to develop out of that. And Father, the other things that you allow us to be involved in, outreach-wise, missions-wise, God, we thank you for those opportunities. God, just help us to love better. Help us to love deeper. Help us to love unconditionally by the power of the Holy Spirit, those who we contact, those who we cross paths with. Father, we just thank you. Feel so blessed this morning just to be your children. Thank you for opportunities to pray, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Now, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I meant to call your attention to the prayer calendar in the bulletin for the month of May. You'll notice that we have a church family that is attached to every day of the month. And some people have asked us, what do we do on that day as that designated family? Well, you just receive the prayers of God's people. So I don't have this month, but on Thursday we start a new month, and Nicholas and Linda Gooch, Owen Area, and RJ, church family, we need to be praying for that family. And then Tate Gore on Friday and so forth and so on. So let's seek the Lord. Utilize that prayer calendar if you feel led to do so. Thank you for your faithfulness financially. Giving options are on the screen. Offering boxes by the doors. And remind you, we'll have several people available for prayer after this service. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Good morning again, church. Glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. If you are our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel that Holy Spirit. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and the love of His people. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. I'd love to get to know you. I'd meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service and would love to meet you. So if you would turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. So last week we, Easter Sunday, we read from John where the women went and saw the empty tomb and met up with Jesus. We're coming to the disciples here. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 21, after Jesus was resurrected. Again, Jesus said, he's speaking to the disciples, minus Thomas and, of course, Judas. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you have been invited. You are indeed welcome here, and we trust that you are here. We need to hear from you. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is from doubt to devotion, from doubt to devotion. Now, I told the early service that I kind of feel a little bit like a defense attorney for Thomas this morning. We're going to, probably until Jesus comes back, what do we know Thomas as? Go ahead and say it. Doubting Thomas. Poor guy. This one event, this one moment in time, this one week, and he's forever labeled Doubting Thomas. Right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. He's so much more than that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I want us to focus on this what happened with Thomas. If you think about, as I picture this in my mind, the disciples all saw Jesus dead, lifeless, came off the cross, put in a tomb, and at this point they hadn't seen the resurrected Jesus. Thomas certainly hadn't, and it's almost like, you've got, of course we know Judas did what Judas did, but this first part of this scripture today, there was 10 of them gathered together. Thomas wasn't with them. I can just imagine that Thomas is discouraged, probably fearful, really just didn't even feel like being with the other disciples this first moment. And then Jesus shows up to them and they tell Thomas, "Thomas, we've seen him. He's alive." And then this second event happened. But I want to just jump in this whole concept of doubt. The first thing I want us to look at is that we all have doubt sometimes. So Thomas, he shows up and the disciples are telling him he's risen. Unless I can put my finger in the holes in his hand and my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas had seen Jesus crucified. He had witnessed the horror of the cross, and now he was being asked to believe that Jesus, this one that they had hoped would be the Savior of the world, that they had seen last dead, he was being asked to believe that he was now alive. This kind of belief, church, doesn't come easy. Can you relate at all to any of that? Have we all possibly wrestled with doubt? Not just doubt about Jesus, but doubt. Have we wrestled with doubt when prayers seem to be unanswered? Is this on? Billy, is this on? Have we wrestled with that? As a pastor, I've had many, many, many opportunities to pray for people when they're sick. And I have seen, through the prayers of this church and through the goodness of God, I have seen miraculous physical healings, medically documented healings. I've seen it. But I've also had those moments when we pray for healing, and or we pray for something, and either you feel like either that's not answered or it's not answered in the way that you were wanting it to be answered. By the way, ultimate healing, what's ultimate healing? When we go to be with Jesus. So that's the ultimate healing. But that may not be what our heart's desire is. It may not have been what our prayer is. Have we ever doubted when our prayers go unanswered? Or perhaps answered in a way we weren't hoping for? Have we ever doubted when relationships that are broken or damaged, and we pray for relationships to be restored? Have you ever doubted because that's not happening, or it's certainly not happening in the time frame that we want? I don't want to get ahead of myself. Doubt is part of the human condition, church. It's not a bad thing. Even in God's Word, there's many examples of God's people doubting. Thomas isn't alone biblically. He's not alone in this issue of doubt. Abraham, I love Abraham. You know, God. Abraham's 100 years old, and God says, "I'm going to make a mighty nation." By the way, Sarah, his wife, is 90. I'm going to make this mighty nation. It's going to come through your lineage, Abraham. Genesis 17:17. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? You think Abraham was doubting that God could do that? Perhaps. Moses, I love this one. Moses doubted that he had the ability to lead. God told Moses, "I want you to go back to Egypt. I'm going to use you to lead my people out of bondage." Here's how Moses replied. I love this. I love me some Moses right here. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." Hear the excuses? The Lord said to him, "Go." Okay, I heard it. I heard your excuse. Go. "I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." And then Moses, the man of great faith, here's what he says. "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." You ever? Don't you love that? God says, "Okay, I hear your excuse. You're not a slick talker. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to empower you to say them. Lord, please, please don't make me go. Please don't. Please, Lord, I don't want to teach that small group." Uh-oh. I'm meddling now, Billy. "Please, Lord, I don't want to I don't want to serve at the food pantry. I'm embarrassed to do that. We doubt. David, as the psalmist, Psalm 13, cried out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" You think David was in that moment of doubt right there? And I love this. John the Baptist had seen Jesus walking by the river, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He recognized who Jesus was, what he was here to do. He baptized Jesus. He saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him. And yet, when John the Baptist finds himself later in prison, he tells someone to go back and ask Jesus this: "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" I'm like, John, come on, man. Doubt isn't a sign of failure. It's part of the human condition. It's part of our journey. I tell people, certainly people that are still seeking the Lord, still seeking to come to grasp their faith and figuring it all out, I tell them, I love questions. I think God loves questions. God says, "You will seek me and find me. You will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." You think that maybe in that seeking, in that process, there might be some doubt from time to time? It's part of the human condition. God doesn't push us away if we doubt. He invites us closer. He told Thomas, put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Come on, Thomas. I'm right here. Peace be with you. He doesn't push us away. He's not angry at our questions. He's not angry at our doubt. He invites us to come and see. Secondly, an encounter with the risen Jesus transforms our doubt into belief. I see this all the time. It saddens me that we get this wrong so many times in the church, and sometimes coming out of pulpits. We get this idea that it's about a certain, you know, the Christian journey and the being a Christian. It's about this certain liturgy and certain way of doing things and certain beliefs and so on and so forth. No, it's about having an encounter with Jesus. Jesus is the changer of hearts. Did you know that? And not only that, he's the only changer of hearts. Did you know your pastor's not a changer of hearts? I hope to introduce you to the changer of hearts. So Thomas tells the disciples, and you know Jesus knew what he said, "Unless I put my finger into his hand and my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe it." And so you would think that Jesus, when he shows up and Thomas is there, you would think Jesus had the right to go, "Thomas, get over here, boy. I'm going to put a whoop on you, man." Y'all, that's redneck Bible version. I don't know if you knew that. No, he had every right to scold Thomas and to be angry with him. But what does he do? "Thomas, peace be with you, brother. Come on. Come move closer. Put your finger here. Put your hand here." In that moment, Jesus did not rebuke Thomas. He wasn't angry or frustrated. He gave him an invitation to draw closer. And here's Thomas's reply. By the way, this just struck me. I've read this scripture hundreds of times, probably. It's just struck me this week as I was preparing this lesson. Did you know that Thomas didn't put his finger in his hand? It doesn't record that he did that. Jesus made the invitation for him to touch his scars. But as soon as Thomas saw Jesus, as soon as he drew near to him, he fell down and he said, "My Lord and my God." So this is the highest declaration of faith in all of Scripture, that Jesus Thomas is acknowledging Jesus not just as a great teacher, not even just as the Messiah, not as a prophet, not as God. God made flesh. My Lord and my God. I've heard people say, well, the Bible never claimed that Jesus is God. Well, that's nonsense. Here it is. Open your scripture. My Lord and my God. Jesus invites Thomas in, and Jesus makes this proclamation, this profession, this he goes from the most doubter, the one who doubted the most, to the one who professed the deepest truth. My Lord and my God. Man, church, I don't know about you, but Jesus changes things. He changes lives. That's why I'm a pastor. That's why I'm passionate. I want people to know this Jesus that I know, because I know He changes lives. He takes broken, lost, hurting people, and He says, peace be with you. Come to me, you weary and burdened. Come to me. Draws near to them. And then, so an encounter with the risen Jesus, not liturgy, not a denomination, not any of the stuff that we say, I like this song, I don't like that song, you did that wrong, and I like this version of the Bible, not that. No, an encounter with the risen Jesus transforms our doubt to belief. And thirdly, our belief should and does, if we really have it, our belief leads to devotion. We become passionate. And this is, you know, what's so sad is, I feel like a defense attorney for Brother Thomas there. And until Jesus comes back, he's going to be known as Doubting Thomas to so many of us. But man, you know, first of all, there's a scripture when back in John chapter 11, when Jesus says we're going to Lazarus so that God may be glorified. He's going to raise Lazarus. Where he's going to raise Lazarus, they've been threatening to kill him there. And the disciples, they're like, wait, no, they want to kill you. And Thomas says this. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. And this guy's gotten the nickname of Doubting Thomas because of that one moment. So this belief, this encounter with Jesus leads to devotion. That moment where Thomas declares, my Lord and my God, and Jesus basically says, because you've seen, I mean, Thomas had the, what a awesome moment that had to have been. Thomas had the ability to literally touch Jesus. I mean, physically touch him. And yet, I don't think Scripture doesn't indicate that he did that once he saw Jesus. And Jesus said these words, very important, because you've seen me, Thomas, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have believed. So what Jesus is saying is, not everyone is going to have this moment where they physically see me in the flesh and have this moment where they can actually touch my scars. But those who are going to believe through the testimony that you have and the other disciples, they're blessed. Blessed are those that you're going to share this with, you and me. He's not rebuking Thomas or diminishing his faith. He's expanding his vision. Jesus knew these 11 men were going to be sent out with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I'll tell you, it's really awesome that you believe now that you've seen me, but the ones you're going to share it to, the testimony you're going to give, those people are blessed. I don't know, anybody else feel blessed in the house besides me? He's talking about us. He's talking about you and me. He's calling us blessed. With Thomas, scripturally, he had this moment with Jesus, and then we see him again at Pentecost when they're in the upper room and they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in Acts chapter 2, 1 and 2. We see Thomas again. He's there. And then after the Holy Spirit comes, we don't see Thomas in Scripture again. Well, early century historians have the idea of what happened to Thomas. And here's what it is. You can research this. Thomas went to India. Thomas went to India, which, as I understand it, may be around a 5,000-mile journey, and he went, according to historical documents, he sailed to India, which was a hard deal, and he ended up on the west coast of India. He took the gospel to India. He ultimately, and I spoke of this last week, all the disciples except John, early historical documentation shows that they all died a violent death proclaiming the good news of Jesus. First of all, as I talked about last week, nobody's going to do that, go to their death for a lie. I mean, they're going to, but if Thomas saw the resurrected Jesus and Jesus said, touch my hand, put your hand in my side, and he knew he was God. If that happened, if that really happened, John says it did and he wrote it, he was there. Thomas, I think that was a deal changer for Thomas and all the disciples. We saw it last week as I mentioned Thomas and the other disciples. Thomas was stabbed with a spear proclaiming the gospel. Now, early historical writing shows that Thomas ended up in India and that he began to lead people to Christ, lots of people to Christ. One of the rulers in India, where it went bad for Thomas, is one of the ruler's wife and son came to Christ through Thomas's through his testimony. The ruler evidently liked people worshiping him rather than the Lord, and Thomas was stabbed with a spear. There are many people in India that are followers of Jesus Christ because doubting Thomas took the gospel to their country. We happen to have four wonderful folks in our church who are followers of Jesus Christ through that lineage. Yeah. Amen. That's good stuff right there. Go ahead. I got their permission to share a little bit about them, but I didn't get their permission to do this. Go ahead and throw that up there, Ben. There they are. Sam and Bindu and Chindu and Samuel. If you don't know this family, you're missing a treat because they're an awesome family. I just love that because actually Sam put me on to some of this. It's like when I first met Sam, he began to tell me about St. Thomas proclaiming the gospel in India. When we encounter Jesus, it changes things. Have you encountered him? Have you encountered him? And I'm not talking about just being in church. I've said this before, but standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Jesus He wants to embrace you. Man, for me, my life was transformed. I can remember it very clearly, October of 1991. I'm still a work in progress, but I'm a new creation as of October 1991. I'm different than I was in September of 1991, I promise you. Because I encountered Jesus. Those nail-scarred hands embraced me, and I will be forever grateful and humbled that he hung on a cross for me. Are you humbled and you grateful that he hung on a cross for you? Have you encountered him? You just bow your heads with me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That we can't say those words often enough. You said that those who have not seen physically but still believe that we're blessed, and yes, indeed, we are blessed. And we cry out, my Lord and my God, as Thomas did, because you've embraced us. If there's those this morning, Lord, that don't know you in that way, maybe they even believe in you, but they just don't know that you love them. They have never been fully embraced by you. Would you, through your power of your Holy Spirit, would you move in their hearts right now? Well up inside of them in a way that they can never deny. You are so good, and you are indeed our Lord and our God. We pray it in that name above every name, Jesus. Amen. If you'll rise, if you're able, as we close, the altar is always open. Please don't leave this place if you don't know that Jesus that loves you.
Yes.
do something.
Thank you, Jesus.
In just a minute, I'm going to say, I want you to say with me, Jesus loves, and then put your name there. I'm going to say Jeff, but unless your name is Jeff, I'd presume you put your name in there. Jesus loves, and then put your name. Are you ready? On three. One, two, three. Jesus loves Marcy.
Jeff.
Let's say it again. Jesus loves
Marcy.
Jeff. Amen. Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. You are blessed, church. Now go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.